Assalamu alaikum, darlings. I am Halima, and this is the Over Tea Podcast. Today, my tea of choice and what I'm sipping on is 20%. Oh, it is a medley of different florals, fruits, and herbs. 20% is like a warm hug and excitement all wrapped into one, and is very much so appropriate for today's topic of discussion. One of the best things that we can hold on to is each other. Let's talk about something that those who have cherish, nurture, and care for. Those who don't have yearn for its genuineness, and those who lose it grieve its loss. We are talking about one of my favorite things today, friendship. What about your friends? Having a good foundation of friends is life-changing. One of the most important parts of self-care is community care. The company that you keep matters. It tells a story of where you are, as well as where you have been and where you're going. For me, at just about to be 40, friendship looks so much different. The way that I connect with my friends is different. It's much more intentional, impactful, and reciprocal. I'm sure that many of you can relate, but I don't speak to my friends every single day. But it doesn't diminish the quality of friendship. Navigating a adulthood is not full of time freedom between working, kids, spouses, and all the chaos that comes with responsibility. We don't always have the time to connect every day, but the moment we do, we pick up right where we left off. How do you tend to your friendships? What makes you a quality friend? Do you know what you need out of friendship? And are you a friend that takes what your friends may need into consideration? Friendship is not always going to be perfect, and it's not meant to be. It's meant to be fulfilling. We have to let go of the fairy tale of perfect friendships. Or perfect friends, even. As humans, we still disagree, hurt, upset, or disappoint each other. How you travel through those things and connect builds your friendship. My friends and I call each other our 20%. This is a term that comes from the 80-20 rule. The 80% represents the aspects of our lives that fulfill and sustain us daily. Family, marriage, children, career, those things that are an integral part of our everyday world and that we love and cherish. Not to say that friendships are not a part of that, they are. But the 20% represents the parts of our lives that fulfill our deepest selves. These are our friends who celebrate our unique victories, the wins that only our close girlfriends can truly understand. That thing that other people may see as small that you have been so excited about, when your friends hear your excitement, they're just as excited. They match that energy. These friends provide the 20% of care, nourishment, and concern that we don't get from the other 80%. They bring that special support that only sisterhood can offer. A shoulder to lean on, someone to cry with, an impromptu brunch or latte, and that extra motivation that you need, whether it's to hit the gym because it's time, honey, or just to be there. In moments that you need support, They are an essential part of our self-care. I'm going to say this again. Community care is self-care. To my 20%, I love y'all deep. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. May Allah reward you all with good, and may Allah bless other women to experience the beauty of genuine sisterhood. Ameen. Fulfillment in friendship is essential, and it's definitely something we need to speak about more. Do your friends serve a positive purpose? Are they bodies taking up space at the seats of your table? Are you unsure or questioning if they serve the person you are and are becoming? Discerning that everyone isn't your friend can sometimes be a hard pill to swallow. We know that we have acquaintances and people that we know that we have connections with. Those connections don't always quantify into friendship, right? We know this. But what happens when someone you consider a friend or you thought you were developing a friendship doesn't hold or treat you to that same regard? How do you bridge that gap or determine if there's even a bridge worth building at all? My initial thought is to start with yourself. Introspection should always be a baseline. You can only meet and connect with people as deeply as you meet and connect with yourself. We often look at what we need from others without considering who we are and what kind of friend we are. Your friendship should be fulfilling to both you and your friends. In the world of self-care, it is so important that we are being reciprocal to the community that contributes and pours into us. In the midst of your girls giving you what you need, are you in tune with their needs? A good place to start is by thinking about how you show up in friendship. As adults, we may not have the time to talk and text every day. We may not be able to show up to every event, but how do you show up when you can? Friendship should consist of healthy connections, honesty, trust, boundaries, and genuine care and concern. They should be absent of trauma bonding, manipulation, guilt tripping, lashing out. The way that you talk to people matters. The way that you talk to your friends matters. Lashing out is, oh, it is, it can be the worst. Because once you say something, you can't take what you said back. It's out there in the world, you know? It should also be absent of jealousy and malicious behaviors. Let me say this. Friendship is not a space for you to put your trauma on display and expect that other people should accept you as you are. It's a safe place for you to feel comfortable and connect with other relatable people. The traumas that you're working on or not working on are not the burdens of your friends. Please don't place them on them. Many good friends give grace and support when we're dealing with heaviness because we all experience moments of heaviness. And that's okay. And you should have support during those moments. Support is the foundation of friendship. But be the friend that gets the help you need so that you can show up healthy, reciprocal, and beneficial to your community. The repetition of unhealthy cycles has no place in friendship. And that doesn't mean that conflicts in friendship won't arise. Conflicts in friendship do exist, and despite what many of us have grown up to think, it is totally okay. How you resolve conflict is what builds character. That builds the character of your friendship. I'm going to dive into that a little bit later in this episode. I have a friend that often asks me, "What do you need?" when we speak. The first time she asked me that, it made me double back because, one, no one has ever asked me that, and two, because I hadn't really thought about what I needed. I didn't even know how to answer the question. But now, when she does ask, I think about it. I take a moment to think about what I need. The fact that she asks me that makes me feel seen, heard, and valued. What do you need? Hits so much different than how are you or how are you feeling. All three are necessary, I think. But that what do you need, baby? That's a different question right there. She may not even be able to fill the need, right? But the fact that she is even concerned and willing to listen to what I need, it makes me feel, what's a good word? It makes me feel worthy. That is the word, worthy. Knowing your worth is important, but do your friends make you feel worthy? I was recently talking to a coworker, and she just bought a house. She and her husband are traveling back and forth to make updates and paint and do all the things that come with getting a house ready to live in. And she expressed how her in-laws make her dinner every night and how much of a relief it is when they do that. She spoke to her mom and she let her mom know, you know, just in casual conversation. And now her mother does it for her too. And I thought to myself, doesn't it feel amazing when someone identifies and fulfills an unspoken need? That practice should be applied to friendship too. Your bestie that just had that baby, I know you want to visit her and Google Gaga with the baby, honey. I know you do. But maybe offering to send a cleaner to her house for the week might be beneficial. Or making or giving her family dinner for a couple of nights may be helpful. One thing that I learned about friendship through my friendships and sisterhood and me being an auntie is moms need breaks, y'all. Shout out to the moms. Y'all need some breaks. Paying for a nanny for a couple of hours or just showing up so that your friend can take a nap. Those are all things that we should kind of think about. Think about how you can show up and fulfill a need of your friend that they're not even saying, but you know they could use help with. I mean, always check in and make sure it's okay with them, but offer to fulfill the need, the unspoken need. The point is to identify your friend's needs and know that that's a great way to show up when you can. Friendship is not without conflict, so let's go back to that. And friends are equally not built and sustained solely by things like longevity, not ever having an argument or not ever having a disagreement and everything being good all the time. Just because you've known each other since grade school doesn't mean you're truly friends. I know tons of people from kindergarten, and I don't consider them friends because we don't. Friendship has a level of responsibility. Sometimes we get caught up in the nostalgia of what we believe friendship is supposed to look like. But we're holding on to things that don't serve the women that we are today. If you find yourself spending time wearing a mask to avoid conflict or addressing uncomfortable issues that may arise with your friends, you may want to think about how you define friendship. You should be able to go to your friends and let them know if something that transpired or that they've done has made you feel uncomfortable, disappointed, or upset. Now, initiating conversation will most likely be very uncomfortable, even for the best of friends. Initiating those types of talks can be very uncomfortable, but it should be a safe space for the conversation to exist and happen. A mindful friend will acknowledge how you are feeling and not be dismissive. I'm not sure if anyone else can relate, but there are times I've had someone who has hurt or offended me say things like, "I'm sorry you feel that way." I think that that is a person not taking ownership. If someone tells you that they've offended you, don't be dismissive. It should be, "I'm sorry that I made you feel that way." If you offended them, even if it's not your intent, it costs nothing to pay attention and pay attention to the and take ownership of the offense. Invalidation of someone else's feelings just because it's not offensive to you doesn't make it right. Listen to understand your friend's concern, affirm that you understand, and apologize for your part and resolve to do better. And if you're on the receiving end of the apology, accept the apology if you're ready. And if you're not, communicate that and allow yourself space and time. Don't hold a grudge or guilt trip that person as though they are indebted to you and they have to earn your forgiveness. Forgiveness is truly for you, it's not for them. They may need to rebuild trust, but forgiveness is not a debt. Putting debt on forgiveness is wrong. Be mindful of how you treat your friends, how you speak with them, how you speak to them, and how you carry their names when they're not around. Respecting the boundaries of your friends is non-negotiable. For me personally, if I know anyone that repeatedly transgresses my boundaries, I cut them off and cut them out of my life because they don't value who I am. Boundaries, regardless of how you feel about them, if you care about a person, you respect their boundaries. It's just that simple. It's baseline. And in friendship, I think that line gets blurred because you feel so in tune with that person and you feel so connected with that person and you develop a thought or thoughts around that person. And I've heard so many women say, "Oh, she's just being dramatic." And then they'll transgress the boundary. But sis, she just told you she doesn't like when you do that and you're continuing to do it. That's not a friend. I'm so sorry, y'all, but that's not a friend. I also want to reiterate that it's important to show up with the same energy that you are requiring of others. If you want A1 friendship, you have to be an A1 friend. Friendship isn't one-sided. Every friendship is different and unique. What one person needs and thrives off of may not be the same thing that another friend needs or thrives off of. Paying attention to that is also important. The beauty in friendship is that it builds a beautiful, healthy, reciprocal, supportive community. There are so many conversations that we could have about navigating friendships. Are there any that you would like to discuss in detail? If so, y'all know what to do. I think the next episode I do on friendship may be about navigating the end of a friendship. Whew, and I may need to call in some lifelines for that one, but it's definitely something that I want to touch on. I just know that it's going to be a lot to unpack. But as always, if there's anything that you feel would be beneficial for us to discuss, please reach out. My Instagram is OverTeaPodcast. I can always be reached on the website on the contact form. The website also is the home of the 20% tea. You can reach out at www.mysistershouse.com. Thank you for sharing your time with me today, and I cannot wait to connect with you next Sunday.